Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. We are live. Pancakes and Power Slams. Once again, we are here live on a Tuesday night. Excited, as always, to be a part of the wrestling wave, the wrestling culture. It's going to be fun, as always. 127 episodes and counting, like I said last week. We have some really fun announcements coming up here soon on the pike, and just will continue to have more and more fun, exciting announcements, including the announcement that I have a little bit later in the show. Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, will be joining us shortly. He would actually be taking over the show for today, giving him the wheels today. Recovering from some allergies, and so I definitely didn't want to miss it. I'm not going to miss it. And like I said before, it's been nearly 2.5 years now, and I've been here through back surgeries, been in the studio with a back brace on, other surgeries that I've had, still here, still live, and I'm dedicated to giving you the latest wrestling news because I love professional wrestling. And I love the fact that I'm so embraced with Pancakes and Power Slams and a community of people who absolutely love professional wrestling and who are supportive of the Pancakes and Power Slam show. How about that? That is exciting and will continue to be exciting. And I am so grateful that all of you continue to show your love and your respect on the Pancakes and Power Slams show. As the chat room is loading up here, we will continue to talk about the WWE wrestling world. Now, I know that many of you have some negative views on WWE Raw, but like I wrote on the Facebook page today, you know, let us know your thoughts on WWE Raw. Just on the WWE period is the WWE brand period, and just let us know your thoughts. We'll say them live on the show. Of course, all of you know who've been a part of the Pancakes and Power Slams world, any of these nearly 2.5 years, you guys know that we're very interactive. Of course, we have the trivia question as always. We have just loads and loads and gobs of trivia as always. Special shout out to wearewrestling.net. Special shout out to wrestling.com, whatculture.com, and of course the Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report is the place that I've been at the longest, and shortly followed. Well, I started Bleacher Report, and I think it was April of 2012, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it was April of 2012. Started Wrestling.com in December of 2012. So those are my longest tenured places. And then, of course, with those big sites came interviews I was a part of, books that I was interviewed, people, authors of wrestling books interviewed me, and I was a part of books and just a list of wrestling interviews, which I'll get right into that here in a moment. And just many opportunities, writing for two more websites, which is WeAreWrestling.net and WhatCulture.com. So I'm very, very thankful of all of your support. And thank you to all of the wrestlers who still keep in touch and make, you know, extended past the interview. Had some Crimson's manager contacted me after the interview, and of course me and Tyler Rex, Gabe Tuft is his real name. He's a fantastic guy over at has his radically growing BodySpartan.com that you should all check out. So we're doing some big things in the Pancakes and Power Slams universe and Crave Wrestling Nation, and we're going to continue to do it. And like I said last week, major announcement, the 16th, be sure to keep your schedules clear for next Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Pancakes and Power Slams will be interviewing none other than War Machine from ROH, one half of War Machine, Hansen, and also have another big announcement that we also got his partner, Raymond Rowe, locked in for October the 14th. So be sure to keep those dates. War Machine, both members of War Machine will be interviewed. And also another big interview announcement, Crave Wrestling and Pancakes and Power Slams is pleased to have yet another person on the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series, and that is none other than former TNA wrestler Jesse Neal. Keep that reserved for September the 23rd, Jesse Neal. So once again, for the month of September, on the 9th, we have Hansen, and we on the 23rd, we have Jesse Neal from Impact, formerly from Impact Wrestling. So Pancakes and Power Slams is continuing to have just amazing support, and of course continuing to, and of course, like I said before, we've got a partnership going with a very popular independent promotion that's going to be announced here in the coming weeks as well, promoting their events and also getting some very popular names to come on the show for interviews. So, of course, we have the trivia rolling. The first question on the trivia for tonight is, what three titles did Lance Storm have simultaneously in WCW? What three titles did Lance Storm have simultaneously in WCW? Speaking of Lance Storm, a good way to segue into Lance Storm making himself known in the past couple of days. Now, Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, Ice Bucket Challenge has been a very, very popular fad going on the past few months to raise awareness of Lou Gehrig's disease and to donate money to the ALS Association. And you've seen many, many, many famous celebrities, including Vince McMahon, The Undertaker, Stephanie McMahon, a number of WWE superstars be a part of the charity organization to raise awareness and, of course, donate money. There's been multi-million dollars donated to the cause. Now, Lance Storm, he had a very long, lengthy statement about that, which was very, very interesting, and he totally opposes it. He totally opposes the Alex Bucket Challenge, and he opposes it because he says that it's mostly to, you know, cause, you know, fame amongst the people who aren't celebrities, and people are losing the essence of the Ice Bucket Challenge, and also the percentage of monies that are actually being toward that cause. So check that out. We covered it on wrestling.com, and I'm sure many, many other outlets that you are used to looking at also covered it. So check out Lance Storm's very interesting statement when it comes to the Ice Bucket Challenge. Now I've been challenged by many people. I've had my ups and downs when it comes to deciding to do it. I'm not totally going to exclude it from my decision and not do it. So I'm still up in the air. I know it's 24 hours, but I've been challenged by many people. So add all those together. So I don't know exactly what I'm at right now with that. But if it needs be, and if the decision is yes, I'll definitely do it. I'll definitely put it. I'll definitely video it and put it on the Pancakes and Power Slams, the Crave Wrestling Facebook site. I definitely would do that. So, you know, it's a very, very interesting statement from Lance Storm. And I definitely can see where he's coming from. I certainly can see, because I, having a master's degree and a master's degree on the way, that reeks of research. And I just, research is one of my middle names from all the graduate studies that I've had. So I'm a research guy. I'm definitely a research guy. I just taking things at face value is not a big thing of mine. I definitely have with the Book of Acts chapter 17 talks about the Bereans when Paul was teaching, and they said that the Bible says they were smarter than those in Thessalonica as they received what Paul was saying, but they went back and studied it for themselves to see if it was true. Research guy, that's where a lot of my research stems from that scripture. And so I've done some research with it, and I have my ups and downs, and as far as even the origin of the Ice Bucket Challenge itself. So very interesting stuff from Lance Storm, and a nice story to make himself very buzzworthy at this point in time. So kudos to Lance Storm just for all of his wrestling achievements, more than this buzzworthy story. Lance Storm is one of the best technical wrestlers and best wrestling trainers that anyone can ever have. So, all right, so once again, the question on deck is what three titles did Lance Storm have simultaneously in WCW? All right, let's get to Raw. Highlight reel, Chris Jericho highlight reel, very interesting highlight reel. It turns out with Jericho, it was originally supposed to be Randy Orton, but the Authority comes out in very Evolution-like mannerisms. I guess Triple H is now the Ric Flair of Evolution. And if you have Randy Orton, that's becoming more of the vet. Randy Orton is like the Triple H of the old, and Triple H is the Ric Flair of the old. And Kane is just, you can't really call him a Batista. although he's the powerhouse of the group. But at the same time, he's more seasoned than any of them. So he's been around wrestling for over 20 years. So it's an interesting turn, an interesting twist to the new faction, I guess you can say. But they look good together. I just, Corporate Kane is a no for me. Seth Rollins, I'm still not sold on him being a heel. He's the Randy Orton of old. So the four of them together didn't look too bad, but just, them being placed in that type of role, I guess it makes sense right now, but I don't see a long shelf life with that at all. I can see that imploding very quick. But the four of them in the ring, John Cena comes out, and also Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns is working on his mic work. He's doing his best. He's growing. Like I said, have time. Take some time. Let the guy grow. Don't make all of your comments so quickly. Give the guy some time to grow. He's only been in the business as far as, when he was leaky, and in FCW, he was green at that time. He's a football player coming in, gets a WWE contract, goes into developmentals. At that time he had tights on and boots, wrestling boots. So he was smaller. So much different look than, he wasn't as muscular. I'll say that much. Because he was, bigger in football, but he wasn't as muscular. He's definitely, developed his character and to become this powerhouse of a guy. But he's only been on the main roster for less than 2 years. He debuted with the Shield in Survivor Series of 2012. So that was November of 2012 when he became the star. The Shield became popular. So it's only been less than 2 years. Give the guy some time. I'm really high on Roman Reigns, and I would defend him until he's defenseless and undefendable. I guess that word is appropriate, even if it's not real. But I would continue to be on to be in the corner for Roman Reigns, because I really think that the WWE for so long has made John Cena the guy. And at this time, of course it's time to pass the torch. And it seems like Super Cena from 07 is coming back. But still, a new face needs to happen. Daniel Bryan had that opportunity. I'm still big on Daniel Bryan. But I just don't. It's sad that injuries can make or break a character. But the Yes Movement was so high and so big. But those injuries really, really hurt him. And now, with the Tommy John surgery that's expected, he won't be back to around Mania time. So that's even more time away. So you're talking about 7 months, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to recreate that type of buzz, the Yes Movement. It's going to be really hard to recreate that type of pop, that type of popularity again, because it was the marks, it was the fans that really made Daniel Bryan the top guy who he is. So it'll be very interesting to see that. And I'm very excited to see that, but to be honest with you, and it hurts me to say this, because I'm a big proponent of Daniel Bryan, but I think that Roman Reigns will get the rub over Daniel Bryan just because Vince McMahon is such a big fan of that look that Roman Reigns has. Taller guy, but 6'2", 6'3", has 250. He has the height, he has the build of that poster guy. And I think he's going to get the rub over over Roman Reigns. And we'll see. We'll see when Daniel Bryan comes through. But, of course, you had John Cena cutting the promo and Jericho doing his thing as well. Six-man tag is booked for the main event for the night, which was quite interesting. And the next after that, we had Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus against The Miz and Damian Sandow, with Damian Sandow, and Cesaro was the tag team, The Miz and Cesaro. Basically, the two champions was interesting to see them together. Miz and Cesaro pulls it off. I'm cool with this because it gives the challengers a one-up in a tag team capacity. And I'm cool with that because I'm usually not okay with non-title matches. It's gotten to the point where it's almost automatically results into the champion losing if it's a non-title match. I'm not okay with that. But it was a tag team match. They're both individual mid-card champions. They lost in a tag team to number one contenders. I'm okay with that. Makes sense. Miz defeats Ziggler with the skull-crushing finale. I don't know if that means that he's going to lose he's going to lose at Night of Champions, but it'll be interesting. This Dolph Ziggler and Miz feud is totally fine by me. Totally fine by me. And this is what we need in the mid-card division. This is exactly what we need in the mid-card division. And finally, Damian Sandow has some type of gimmick. Yeah, he's, you know, Miz's stunt double, but it's much better than having a lumberjack suit on or being some type of astronaut. Much better than that. And maybe they can even branch off into being a tag team. And, you know, that'll work. That'll totally work. Damian Sandow came close to the tag team titles when he was with Cody Rhodes when they were Team Rhodes Scholars, but never won it. Sandow's never had a title. The biggest achievement he's had was Money in the Bank, and that didn't go anywhere. He lost. He got the only person who ever got pinned for the when cashing in their contract. Of course, Kennedy got pinned to lose his contract to Edge on Raw, but he didn't cash it in. Kennedy was injured at the time, so Edge took it over. So, yeah, very interesting. At least, like I said, at least he has a spot, and I'm totally okay with that. So hopefully this goes somewhere. And it enhances The Miz's character, too, which is very good for that. So a step in the right direction, at least that's something, which I'm totally fine with. Next, we have some divas on deck. Naomi, Summer Rae, and Layla defeating Eva. It was more of the Total Divas plug. It was a no contest. The referee throws the match out because it was a big brawl between the six of them, and this was totally Total Divas starting and Total Divas promotion. I mean, that's exactly what it was. And season three of Total Divas with Rosa Mendez a part of it now, so that should be interesting. I have it on my DVR. And it's very interesting. My wife likes Total Divas too, so I'll have someone to watch it with. that's female. I know people who watch Total Divas on DVR, and don't want their wives to watch to know that they're watching it. So thank God I have a wife that is okay with me watching Total Divas, and also allows me to watch Total Divas and likes to watch it with me. So kudos to that. But season two wasn't very interesting. Season one was cool. Season two was season two was too much with John Cena and Nikki Bella. And that really bugged me. That was just ridiculous to me. I was so tired of seeing all that. I was just thinking in my head, like, why don't you guys just get over it already? And just too much for me. But at the same time, season one. Season two was more with the Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella wedding. Season one was more Cena and Nikki. So that part was mad to me. And interestingly enough, there's no JoJo, you know, anymore. I think JoJo was a good hand in Total Divas, but at least she's still around. I think JoJo has a really good, she's so small, and that may be a deterrent, it may be a factor of reason why she's not really in the mix, so to speak. But she's doing, I mean, she's an announcer at NXT, she's an interviewer at NXT, I'm totally fine with that. She's a ring announcer, and I'm totally fine with that. I mean, that's a good spot with her. I think she needs to be utilized in some capacity, because when she did, the times that she was on TV, on WWE TV, she did a good job. She showed that she really has a heart to be a wrestler, as opposed to Eva Marie, which just seems like, you know, she's using this to be on more Maxim covers and Iron Man magazines, like they showed on Raw. So we'll see. And I was talking to Ryan. we talk about wrestling all the time, and one thing in particular we were talking about was just her horrible showing her incredibly horrible showing on NXT when she was going against Bayley. You know, when she was going against Bayley. Oh, that was rough, and it was horrible. And yeah, it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like there's no growth with her at all, and it's incredibly sad. But hopefully, we'll get to the point where she becomes something different. She doesn't need to wrestle. She needs to be somebody's manager. That's what she needs to do. She needs, because she gets heat. She gets Vicky heat because people just don't like her, and she can't wrestle. She gets you can't wrestle chance. So she wouldn't have any problem with getting cheap heat. So if you want to make somebody very popular, if you want to bring up Tyler Breeze from NXT and plug, you know, Eva with him, that will get Tyler Breeze pretty over being with Eva, because Eva certainly has that Vicky heat, which definitely would make Tyler Breeze known very, very quick. Next, we get Big Show and Mark Henry versus Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Very interesting tag team. Big Show and Mark Henry wins by disqualification. The World's Strongest Tag Team had some type of momentum going, but it looks like they're doing the whole Rusev-Mark Henry thing, which seems cool. I'm okay. I'm totally okay with it. And, you know, it should be pretty cool. And I certainly think that Mark Henry would be a good addition to Rusev's push. And I'm going to run an article. I don't know which outlet I'm going to write it on yet. I have my premier choice at this moment. But I think that I'm going to write an article about how much I'm starting to like Rusev. I don't like the character, but I like Rusev because Rusev is one of the only pure heels in the WWE. Now, Derek and I are both traditionalists, and the thing is that Rusev, these days, it's really tough for a wrestler to be a part of the WWE and to be a pure heel. A lot of times heels are tweeners because the heels are being cheered. Orton gets cheered a lot. When Punk was a heel, he got cheered. Even Bo Dallas gets cheered in many occasions. So it's a lost art. in the WWE universe that a heel is actually heel, and a heel gets, for the most part, booed by just about everybody. It's a lost art, and it's something. Bray Wyatt's another person who's a heel but gets cheered. Seth Rollins, another person, a heel who gets cheered. So there's a for the most part, a lot of the top heels in the WWE is split in some cases. You know, 2/3 to half of them are, a third to half of them still cheer for them. So it kind of makes them tweeners. It doesn't really make them heels because they're getting cheered. And Rusev, he's really keeping to that art of a heel, especially a old school heel that we saw before. The old school Slaughters, the old school DiBiases, the old school Stan Hansons of wrestling, Dirty Dick Slater, Dick Murdoch, those type of rugged, aggressive heels that people just did not like. And Rusev is bringing that element back to wrestling, and that's what I love about what they're doing with Rusev. He is a heel, and he is a pure heel. People don't cheer Rusev because they don't like him, and that is a good thing, fantastic thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to bring on to the show our Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, Derek. But before we bring Derek on, got a little segment on Pancakes and Power Slams that we call the Ryan's Den. So with our boy, Pancakes and Power Slams own Ryan Fuqua, it is his time to let us know his thoughts.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Ryan Fuqua!
Absolutely. What have we got in the Ryan's Den tonight, sir?
Oh, hey, what's going on? I just wanted to comment a little of, have you talked about the flavor of the week?
Not yet. The flavor of the week is the, we're going to talk about, as Ryan and I spoke today, and Brian came up with a fantastic idea. The flavor of the week this week is which title has more prestige, the Intercontinental or the U.S. title. Be sure to log into the chat room if you want to call in live, time permitting, 347-884-8452, or Crave Wrestling, follow Crave Wrestling at Twitter, or go on the Facebook page. That is the flavor of the week.
Okay, yeah, I would say that for later. Totally agree with you on Rusev, man. I was thinking, like, wow, this guy's gotten better, but I still don't like him. Like, I still can honestly see him as a bad guy. And also, too, while I'm speaking of that, it's still, man, just stop making all the bad guys cool. And I think that's what's the thing about Rusev. You don't look at him like, oh, he's got some bad news or he's got an awesome catchphrase, you know. This Rusev is just that natural bad guy. Only thing I didn't like from this Raw is just still seeing John Cena be this, I don't know, now all of a sudden he's this brutal character when he just got the beating of a life and he sold it for, what, 7-8 days? And then he comes back. Now he came back his strongest ever. So we have to see him manhandle the whole roster. I feel like that's what it's going to be leading up to Night of Champions. And I guess just basically get your thoughts on how they should handle that one. Because I don't know, man. I think I would have kept him off TV a little longer and really had him sell that beatdown. And that's all I got this week for you.
Fantastic. Appreciate it as always. Had to step into the Ryan's Den tonight with our boy Ryan Fuqua. Thank you so much. as always, such a fantastic hand for the Pancakes and Power Slam show. One of the only people who can hang with me with wrestling trivia. Derek has tried many, many times, but failed miserably. Ryan Fuqua is a very, very good trivia guy. Very good with early 2000 SmackDowns. That's one of his specialties, is the early 2000 SmackDowns, which was clearly the best. I would say about 2000 to 2004 was the years of the best SmackDown period. Maybe 2000 to 2003 was some of the best years of SmackDown, without a question. All right, we're right now talked about Roman Reigns, talked about John Cena. We are on the Big Show and Mark Henry match. And without further ado, before we go into the Jack Swagger versus Curtis Axel match, I'm going to pass the reins to my boy, my partner in crime, the Pancakes and Power Slams co-host, and he is a marginally successful wrestling trivia guy. I'm gonna hand the reins to Derek, the Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent. And before I give it to him, the question on deck is: what three titles did Lance Storm have simultaneously in WCW? Great job, U.S. Hardcore and Cruiserweights, the Saskatchewan Hardcore International title, the 100 kilograms and under title, and the Canadian Heavyweight Championship were the three names for them. And I'll let Derek ask the rest of the trivia questions. If you want to ask me trivia questions, I'm all for it. And, of course, the chat room. Derek, the reins are passed, sir.
Wow, finally. Talk about long entrances. Hey, everybody, Pancakes and Power Slams. This is where it's at tonight. 347-8452. Chris Featherstone he's here, but I'm here. Even better. Marginal trivia guy. Come on, give me a break, Chris Featherstone. You know me better than that, man. But hey, a lot of things going on this week. Monday Night Raw. It was a good Raw. I enjoyed the Raw. The one thing I want to say that I was so disappointed and thought made the whole night horrible was the first Divas match. That was such a catastrophe. That was garbage. I never want to see anything like that again. I just don't. It wasn't anything to be proud of for WWE. If I was Vince McMahon, I'd fire each and every one of those. Divas for putting on the absolute horrible match. And one thing about Lance Storm, if I could be serious for a minute. Remember that? Lance Storm.
I'm from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
He was! And Lance Storm, he's like a member from The Simpsons, of Frank Grimes. He was like a very... That is Lance Storm. That is Lance Storm, everybody.
Perfect analogy. Perfect analogy.
Henry and Big Show, and I do love what they're doing with Rusev. I'm impressed with them. I'm not totally full blown into them. Great segment on the Ryan's Den. Thank you very much. It's kind of I'm waiting for him to say Russia number one, USA.
Yeah.
Right. Not going to happen. Big Show is going to it's going to work. I mean, him and Mark Henry. It's going to work pretty good. It's going to work well. Better than him and Swagger. Swagger's got better things to do with Bo Dallas. I don't know what else they could do with those two, so good luck to whatever's going to come out of it. But I'm enjoying myself. This is a great Pancakes and Power Slam. Yeah, I mean, what else? Next we got Swagger and Axel. What kind of a match was that, in your opinion?
It was an enhancement match to make Swagger look good, which I'm okay with. Because Curtis Axel, I mean, that's all he's good for, especially since Ryback Axel is done for the moment. Ryback Axel is gone. you know, for an indeterminable amount of time. So I think that Curtis Axel, I don't see no push. I mean, he's not without he's without Heyman. Heyman didn't do anything for him anyways. And I don't see anything going with Axel. So at this point, making Swagger look good is the best he can do right now. I can see Damian Sandow being another person that would make Swagger look over. Swagger needs to look impressive because all those losses to Rusev, although this has been Rusev's best feud, I like this feud with Big E too, but Swagger's more patriotic. His gimmick's more patriotic, of course. So this has been a really good feud for Rusev. However, Swagger has not won at all. So Bo Dallas is his next feud. I'm not too big on it, but good to see Zeb Coulter back, and so he's definitely going to be a help for Swagger. And as long as Swagger stays that mid-card babyface and doesn't lose every match, I'm totally okay with that. Eventually, let's see him have the U.S. title down the line.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I mean, I like Swagger a lot. With him going against Axel, Axel's just, without Ryback, he's like a fart in the wind. I mean, he's got nothing going for him. No longer a Heyman guy. It's over with for him. And after that, you know, you got Adam Rose against Titus, and the Rabbit attacks him. Who is the Rabbit? That's what I want to know. Who is the Rabbit? Do you have any ideas?
He looks like we'll get it out here soon, but he looks certainly like he looks taller than Adam Rose and bigger than Adam Rose. We know it's not Adam Rose, but it seems like someone who's pretty big guy. He definitely seemed like a big guy. I know that the Bunny at one point in time was Zack Ryder, and it was also Tyson Kidd. It was quite interesting. Justin Gabriel was reported to be the Bunny as well at one point in time. So we'll see. Who the Bunny is, and we shall go ahead and make it official once we get some reports confirmed. I'll put that on one of the sites.
Put that on the sites. I mean, we got a lot going on with Pancakes and Power Slams, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to remember how much Pancakes and Power Slams. We've been on for 2+ years, Chris. I mean, it's been absolutely phenomenal. We have such a stretch. 347-8452. Follow us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on WrestlingGeek.com. Chris Featherstone is a writer on there. I read it all the time. Everybody should. I mean, this is the cream of the crop when it comes to wrestling. The new Tuesday Night Titan. This is wrestling. And it's the best thing that we got. After that, you got Rusev and Zack Ryder. Kind of a throwaway match. I mean, Ryder goes strong. That's one thing I got to say about that guy. He can take it. He can go. I always kind of got him and Dolph Ziggler kind of in the same boat at times. Not so much anymore. Maybe take it back a year or two. But, I mean, those guys can just go and just make it awesome. And I love what Dolph is doing with the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, he's a spitfire. That's what I got to say about him. I'm sure people hate wrestling because it's how fast that he just pounds and pounds and pounds and pounds. I mean, that'd wear anybody out, and that's probably his best technique right now.
Yeah, I think that Dolph Ziggler is doing a really good job with the Intercontinental Championship, and I've said every week, the mid-card is where the focus should be right now, especially since our WWE World Heavyweight Champion won't be on there for consecutive weeks. I mean, this is the perfect time to shine the mid-card. And the mid-card was not shined as much as it should have been. I think going into Night of Champions, one of the biggest things should be getting these mid-card matches together, which will be Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, and of course Cesaro won the number one contenders for the U.S. title, so Cesaro and Swagger should be pretty good. Cesaro and Sheamus should be pretty good. And so, I think that it should be a four-way. I think that Bo Dallas and Jack Swagger should be a part of that U.S. title match, and it certainly would give Swagger an opportunity to win the title if it was a four-way match. But I think that the mid-card should be Shine right now because we're not seeing the World Heavyweight Champion, but instead we get a bunch of segments with Nikki Bella and Brie Bella. And just those segments throughout the show was a total waste of time. Oh, she wrecked my car. Oh, I made her pass this test and all of that, and she passed with flying colors. Oh, come on. That was ridiculous. This feud is getting worse and worse and worse. When Nikki made the turn initially, I was like, yes, I'm totally okay with it. I think it can be a good feud. But they have just ruined this feud. It was just, I wanted to barf just experiencing that part of the show. And the thing is, I absolutely love being a journalist. I love it. It's fun. It's exciting. I get to do what I dreamed to do years ago. I always wanted to be in the wrestling business of some sort. I used to amateur wrestle. I've had a few. I've trained in wrestling, and I've had a few opportunities to wrestle for some few offers to wrestle for some independent promotions. So I always wanted to be a part of wrestling, and being a journalist is just a dream come true. But the bad part of that, there's not many bad things, or there's hardly any bad things. One bad thing in particular is that I have to watch stuff like this. I can't just fast forward this part when I'm commentating on something. I have to watch the whole show. And I really had to indulge this Nikki and Brie Bella crap. It was absolutely just, it was ridiculous. It was just boring. And the moment that they had with Steph wasn't any better. It was just totally awful to me. Just ridiculous.
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, it was so boring. I'm just having Stephanie in there as well. And, I mean, Brie is a horrible, horrible actor. She has nothing to offer. And I mean Nikki's carrying the show. Not the show.
She's not good either though. The thing is they're like totally on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Like Brie is a horrible actress. And because I was defending her when the whole Steph thing came, because there was a couple things that, because they were not high on her at all, we report on Wrestling Inc. that they weren't high on her at all. They blamed her for the dips in the ratings. And I was defending her at the time because I didn't think she was that bad. But in hindsight, man, she's not good. she's not a good actress at all. She makes this so fake. And then Nikki's on the opposite end of the spectrum. She just overanalyzes. She's so extreme. She's just hyper expressive. And I mean, it's just, they're totally opposite. There's no they're twin sisters, and there's still no chemistry between them in a feud. Like, of course, I wasn't expecting it to be Britt and Owen, but at the same time, like, at least I was expecting it to be something better than what I see now.
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's a disgrace, and it's already been ruined. I mean, in my opinion, I think Nikki's the better of the two as far as just making it believable. But even in her tirades and her promos, they're just not. It's so fake, and it's ridiculous. I'm tired of seeing it. It's a feud that I'm seriously totally tuned out of already, and. I just kind of, I'm more interested in what's going on with Brock Lesnar. And that's a far cry.
Yeah. So we got the Usos next.
Usos! We do have the Usos next. And there's not much to say about the Usos except his knee hurts, evidently. I mean, his knee really hurts bad. But I got to say something, Greg. I mean, I love the new Goldust and Stardust team. They're just, I mean, Goldust absolutely rocks it. Put on an awesome performance last night. Cody has really adapted to Dustin Runnels. The way that they both move. I mean, they're just spitting images of each other. Dusty Rhodes would be absolutely, I don't know, you do the best impression of him, but it's great. I'm just so happy to see Goldust and Cody. I mean, Cody has just really attached himself to this brand of bizarreness that Goldust possesses, and they're doing wonders with it. And Jimmy Uso, sorry, but I'm kind of ready to see new tag team champions.
Back in 1991, when me and my son, Dustin, when he was the natural Dustin Rhodes, I wouldn't expect for him, 20 years later, to be Goldust, to be wrapped up in a gold suit with gold and black face paint. I wasn't expecting that from my son. But I will tell you this. My sons, Dustin and Cody, Goldust and Stardust, they are making the best of their opportunity from the WWE, and I am proud of my sons, Goldust and Stardust, because we're getting funky like a monkey, pancakes and power slams, if you will. My sons, proud of you boys.
Oh. Exactly. That's exactly what he would say. I mean, you've got nothing. I mean, Goldust is the most bizarre character. And, I mean, Cody, just he's latched on so well. I mean, I'm so proud of Cody. I'm totally under his umbrella. I mean, and he was always a great character. He was always a good performer. I liked when he had the mask on, like the clear mask and his teeth and speech impediment and all that good stuff. So, well, I mean, this now, I mean, he could carry on the Gold Dust torch. But I think I want a lot to come out of this team. I think a lot more is going to come out of the Gold Dust Stardust duo. And it's time to make them champions. It is.
I agree. I like the Usos. You know very well that I am a huge fan of the Usos. They're the fifth longest reigning champions right now, which I'm totally fine with. They're approaching 6 months as champions. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with I've said this even when they won the titles. They should have a long title reign, which I'm totally a fan of long title reigns. If it's often defended long title reign really can make a legend out of a wrestler or a team, period. Demolition, we look in hindsight, and I've said this before on the show, Demolition, they were a bit overrated. They were knockoffs of LOD, and at that point, you know, when we had, you know, the Derringer song, the theme song by Derringer, I was a big fan of, one of the best theme songs of all time. But I was talking to a colleague of mine this weekend, and I was explaining that once you scale all of the pieces away from Demolition, they were not in shape. They were out of shape, and they had pudgy bellies, and they just weren't very quick wrestlers at all. And what intimidated them were the spaghetti strap dominatrix style gear with the studs and the face paint and the red tongues. And once you peel all that off, you basically get the Repo Man. And Smash, he looked big at the time and intimidating. But when he was Repo Man, he looked quite small. And when he cut his hair and had the Repo Man gear on, he wasn't a big guy. So it's funny what face paint and cool music will give you. But what's made Demolition so popular was those elements, and because they dominated the tag team scene. They were the big tag team of the time, them and the Powers of Pain. But they dominated the tag team scene. They had the belts for a year. They're still. I mean, 25 years later, they're still the longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history. I mean, that says a lot. And because of that, they're a legendary tag team. And I think that a long reign by the Usos can put them up there. And to be honest with you, I would be okay if I see Goldust and Stardust win the title. But this feud should last pretty long. The Rowan and Harper feud lasted for a long time. It was a really good feud. I still think that's one of the feuds of the year. And this feud should last long, too. They're doing more of a slow turn with Goldust and Stardust. I thought it was going to be a full turn. But they came back and apologized on Raw, said I'm sorry, and then, you know, still attacked that knee. So I'm okay with the heel turn from them. It didn't really do anything to really change their character. Anyways, I think it was more zany before. Now it's more aggressive. So it's not much of a difference in their character. So I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the turn. I'd be even okay with a title win. But it's just something about that long title reign from the Usos that I really want to see. I really want to see the Usos be one of the best tag teams WWE ever offered.
Yeah, I can see that too. And you're thinking about Demolition, yeah. I mean, they were spectacular because they had the heavy metal theme song. They had the heavy metal gear. Take all that away, what were they? I don't know. But again, you got to look at the competition back in the day. It was, you know, you had the Hart Foundation, you had Strike Four, the Rocker. Oh, the Rockers! Give me a break! Come on, best tag team. They were tag technicians.
Cool theme music too.
Oh, their theme music was phenomenal. Can you? Hey, interns.
Jared, what's going on?
Hey, interns. Get some Rockers music going. That would be great. Anyway, so I just want to say, you know, Demolition, Rick Derringer, you mentioned that. Hey, he also he created Hang On Sloopy. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
It's the Buckeyes. They play that a lot.
I Wish You Fight Song, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's awesome. And then you got him playing. He did Real American. He did Demolition. I mean, this guy's a superstar. So, I mean, that's awesome. But how did Raw end last night? Did you like the last match last night? I mean, it was a six-man tag team against the biggest stars, the biggest stars they have on Raw anyway. So it's good to see Jericho.
Yeah.
Randy.
I think that Chris Jericho in the main event was, as always, a good thing for me. I like that he's in the fold in this main event. Authority fold. His last match is scheduled for Night of Champions. And interestingly enough, I think that they may be changing the whole thing with him and Bray Wyatt, because it just hasn't been first of all, still hasn't put Bray Wyatt over, because he's not doing much of anything. He's still the same as he was before. And it just wasn't a feud that... It just seems like it's not as good as people thought it was going to be. Like I said, they had the match last year on NXT. It was really well. But their matches have been okay, but not very good. And so, I don't know. It's just one of those things that it didn't go over as much as people thought it was going to be, so they may just change it up a little bit. Especially with the steel cage match that's reported for that's scheduled for next Raw, I think that may be the culmination even before Night of Champions. And I'd be okay with the Jericho Orton match at Night of Champions. It seems like they may be heading that route. And Roman Reigns going against Seth Rollins. Or they may do a handicap match with Orton and Rollins against Reigns. Or Ambrose is possibly going to return then. So I'd be okay with Ambrose and Rollins against Ambrose and Reigns against Rollins and Orton. But I prefer I prefer Rollins and Kane. Just because I want I just want to see Orton Jericho. I'd rather see Orton Jericho than Wyatt and Jericho at Night of Champions. As far as the main event is concerned, I thought it was okay. It was still like Ryan was saying. I think it was still. I think we got over Cena'd again. Just because they're just trying to have him just blast through the whole roster to make him to protect his character from that beating. I said this before. There's nothing that can happen to John Cena. And I even wrote this on Bleacher Report. There's nothing that can happen to John Cena to tarnish his character. Like, literally, John Cena can lose 10 straight times, and they still wouldn't do nothing to us. Look at Ric Flair. Ric Flair is a 16-time world champion, and before the latter years where it was just too late, like he should have retired, before that, during the, you know, the WCW craze, Ric Flair was unstoppable. His character was so protected. He was such an amazing main event staple character that he could lose 10 times and it wouldn't matter. John Cena is the same way. He can lose 10 times and it wouldn't matter. He got annihilated by Brock Lesnar. Still didn't matter. So doing all this for the sake of making Cena a viable opponent for Brock Lesnar is meaningless. It does nothing to the rest of the roster. And it's selfish. It just makes John Cena look good. He didn't need it. It's not necessary. And invoking his rematch clause is enough because you get the mandatory rematch clause. But the good thing about this is Reigns did pick up the victory. But like I said before, I just don't want them to do too much with Roman Reigns as far as him being that Cena-like character, because there's something about the underdog pop that's still a big deal these days. I mean, you had that with Daniel Bryan. You had that with CM Punk. They like the underdog pop. And what WWE can't afford is to have Roman Reigns lose that underdog pop. So if they do something with the Authority, kind of put the odds against him, that kind of keeps that underdog pop. Once they lose that underdog pop from someone, you get into the Cena, you know, territory, which even if you're a face, people just don't like you. So Roman Reigns just can't afford to do that.
He can't afford to do that. But they, I don't know. And John Cena, maybe this is his, one of his curtain calls, you know. I don't want to say that too prematurely, because he'll probably go, you know, a few months without being seen if he loses at Night Champion. But in all honesty, John Cena does deserve that. As much as I dislike John Cena, he has carried the WWE for the past few years. And I know you dislike him as well, but you always got to give John Cena his props because that's what he deserves. But regardless, I don't see John Cena winning Night of Champions. I don't see anything really happening much. It's let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Because that's just the way it goes with the WWE. And, I mean,
The interns has a gift for you, man. Here we go.
Give me the
interns. Interns, cue it.
The interns never fail. And let me say, I remember back in the day when the Rockers were the tag team technicians that they were, that Marty Jannetty, among myself and my friends, was always the more popular one. My buddy and I used to, we pretend to wrestle in my living room. I always had to be Shawn Michaels because he was always Martin Jannetty. And I always kind of felt shafted. But nowadays, There's no way. I can't believe that Shawn Michaels turned out to be the guy that he is as far as wrestling goes.
Absolutely.
Mean, just, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. I was a fan of the people who became the lesser popular tag team wrestlers. Like I was a bigger fan of Jannetty. I was a bigger fan of Animal. They're pretty much still par to par, but Hawk was the more popular person. He had way better promos. And I was a bigger fan of Rick Steiner. And Scott Steiner was the one who became world champion. Shawn Michaels was the one who became world champion. Hawk and Animal still was, you know, they still was close. They still was toe-to-toe for the most part. But Hawk did do a little bit better singles work than Animal did when they split up for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I was a bigger fan of the only person who became a world champion that wasn't the lesser popular, you know, in hindsight, the lesser popular tag team partner was Booker T. I was a big fan of Booker T. When they were the Evident Experience in Harlem Heat, I was a huge Booker T fan. And of course, he was the one who achieved the most, you know, better single success and became multi-time world champion. So, yeah, I'm with you. I was a big Jannetty fan, but unfortunately, you know, I have written and do my articles have coined. I've coined a phrase to the person, the tag team partner who receives the shaft. It's so sad, but it's so apropos. I call it the Jannetty treatment. When the tag team partner gets the short end of the stick and the other tag team partner sees more success, the one who receives the short end of the stick is a victim of, unfortunately, the Jannetty treatment. And yeah, sadly enough, I was a bigger fan of Davey Boy Smith than Dynamite Kid too. So that's another one that I was a fan of the more popular wrestler. But yeah, we've seen many people come and go, many teams here and there, and many of them become big stars, and the other ones receive the Jannetty treatment.
Jannetty treatment, I love that. That's great. I mean, that's just that's wrestling for you. You know, you never know. Be in the right place at the right time. That's just what happens. And you could be the best of the tag team, but you never know what the other guy's got in his head. Shawn Michaels definitely made out. I mean, he's the top five wrestler of all time.
He's not in my top five, but I think he's one of the top five wrestlers of all time. I totally agree with that. I think that he's one of the top three performers of all time. He's Chris Jericho's favorite wrestler, and him and Steamboat are, and I totally understand why.
Forget about it.
Oh, yeah. Steamboat's my number two. He's my number two favorite wrestler of all time. I've said my top five many times. Do you remember it?
Yeah, it was Sting, Steamboat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Booker T's number five.
Tugboat.
Wow, you're close. You got three of the five. Tugboat's, he just missed that fifth spot. Sting, number one. Number two, Steamboat. Number three, Dusty Rhodes. Of course, come on. Of course, Dusty Rhodes. Number four, Chris Jericho. And number five, Booker T. Those are my top five wrestlers of all time. You know, Undertaker's in the top ten. I like, you know, those are a few of my favorites. Undertaker's up there. was never a consistent Bret Hart fan. I think Bret Hart is one of the best wrestlers ever. But as a fan, I wasn't a consistent Bret Hart fan. I wasn't a consistent Shawn Michaels fan either. Probably the past 10, 12 years, I've been a consistent Shawn Michaels fan to put him in the top 10. But I was a big fan of the Rockers too. But Michaels' heel run and DX was okay. DX was cool, but DX was – I wasn't a huge fan of DX. Of course, I, you know, did the crotch chops, and I was a part of the DX craze. But I wasn't like, ooh, DX is one of my favorites. So I would say probably between 91 and 90 – 91 and well, when he turned face and he was feuding with Vader and Foley and became champion when he went against Bret Hart, I was a Shawn Michaels fan at then. So from 91 to about 2001, I was an off and on Shawn Michaels fan. So that's why he's not a part of my top five, but he's definitely a part of my top 10. So I'll say it that way.
Well, that's good. I mean, he's my top five. I love the DX. That was my favorite Shawn Michaels, was mid-97 to 2008. I mean, that just made him the ultimate snub jerk that he was, and I love that. I absolutely love that because I loved him, like you said, when from 91 to 96, when he was the face, Mr. WrestleMania, the showstopper, mm-hmm. the main event. But when he did his heel turn in the mid-late 90s and came to Triple H, that just made him the king. And, you know, after that, Stone Cold came out and had the Stone Cold 316. And Michaels, he made the WWE back then,
absolutely.
In my opinion.
Yeah. He's one of the greatest ever, for sure. Flavor of the week is which title has the most prestige, U.S. or Intercontinental Championship? Before you go, Derek, again, I want to announce, last week we had a big announcement, and we just announced it at the beginning of the show, but we're going to do it again right now. Last week we announced that ROH star Hansen will be on the show next week with an interview, exclusive interview by Pancakes and Power Slams. And we have on the 23rd, and we're going to do the September interviews for now. We also announced Raymond Rowe for October. We'll get more in that really heavy toward the end of the month. But next week, stay locked. Next week we have Hansen. And the 23rd, we have Jesse Neal, from former TNA star, did very well for a moment of time in TNA, and so people were wondering why he got released, and so we're going to get the real version of why he was released in TNA, and that should be a very, very interesting interview that's going to be all around the networks and create a ton of buzz. So stay tuned. Pancakes and Power Slams, of course, is here for you. We're almost 2.5 years on live on the air. And thank you so much for all of your support. And check us out on all the media outlets, RioWrestling.net, Wrestling.com, WhatCulture.com, of course, BleacherReport.com, and subscribe to iTunes. I haven't said this for a long time, but we have all of the episodes on iTunes. You can subscribe to iTunes, and you'll get the episode as soon as it gets on iTunes. When the episode is done, it just pops right on iTunes. So subscribe on iTunes. You'll get every single episode on iTunes, from the very first one to this upcoming one. So check it on iTunes. And before we get to the flavor of the week, again, I want to say thank you. Follow us on Crave Wrestling at Twitter at Crave Wrestling, and also give us your thoughts, emails, and you'll get credit for it, cravewrestling@gmail.com. That's also where you can give to PayPal to have, you know, more opportunities to do more endeavors with the wrestling universe and have some very interesting elements that we're already going to do, but we need your support, your continual support to have those means to have very interesting segments on the show. Derek, U.S. or Intercontinental Championship, which has more prestige?
The Intercontinental Championship has so much more prestige than the U.S. Championship. I'm thinking about people that held the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, you've had Rick Steamboat. You've had Macho Man Savage, Rick Rude, The Rock, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Owen Hart. I mean, tell me who, I mean, and with the U.S. Championship, you had Lex Luger, you had Sting, you had, I mean, you had a lot of people with the U.S. title. But seriously, the Intercontinental Championship, back when it was still NWA, when it was then turned into WCW, I think the Intercontinental Championship stood up so much more higher than the U.S. title. Always, always, always. It just did. I mean, you've had superstars. That just, when you had the Intercontinental Championship, the next step was the U.S. or the it was the WWE Championship. And not so much in every case, but, I mean, honestly, Intercontinental Championship, when you had Stone Cold Steve Austin throw it off the bridge, when The Rock was with the Nation of Domination, and the same thing, it goes to show. Are you kidding me? There is no way the Intercontinental Championship, for at least from 87 to 2002 maybe, it was just the absolute best mid-card title to have. U.S. Championship, not so much. I just never thought of it as something. It wasn't much of a stepping stone for me, as much as the IC Championship was. And the IC Championship was around since 79. And I'm not too sure when United States Championship title started. I want to think
75, Harley Race.
And I know Ric Flair had it, and I'm not taking anything away from that. Ric Flair, maybe Harley Race had it, and we had a thing about Harley Race last week where Harley Race is a man, and you said, yeah, not so much. So, but honestly, this week, flavor of the week, the Intercontinental Championship weighs so much more on the United States Championship, and I honestly believe that is the, it's not the cream of the crop, but it's the crop that you want before you get to the cream. As I wheel.
Whatever that meant. real quick before I give you my take of which one I think is better. So your case is the Intercontinental Championship. I think you made a pretty strong case. Real quick before I say my part, when you were talking about Steve Austin throwing championships over the bridge, he was notorious for just destroying championships. I remember he was feuding with, I believe it was Kurt Angle, and he had his world title, and he was, he had his medals, that's what it was. He had his medals, and he was about to put them down the sewer, and he kept teasing it. He was, what? Like, it was absolutely hilarious. Matter of fact, I think that's going to be, I have to write that down, I think that's going to be a Flavor of the Week topic when he did that with the medals. And he just kept saying what as he was teasing to bring it down the sewer. It was absolutely hilarious. And those are some of the best Steve Austin moments. But as far as the better title is concerned, I'm going to go with the United States Championship.
Maybe when Four Horsemen. What was that guy's name?
Blanchard?
The Four Horsemen.
Wyndham Blanchard?
Tully
Blanchard. Champion. Yeah,
Tully
Blanchard.
Not prestige title after that.
No. Okay, well, here's my case. Okay, you have Pedro Morales, you have Savage, Warrior, Bret, Michaels. Hold on a second. You have those people that I said. You have those people that I said. Michaels, Diesel, and
Rick
Triple H, Rock, Austin, you, Jericho. You have Edge. You have a lot of people. Angle, Benoit, Guerrero, Triple H, Jeff Hardy. You have quite a few people, RVD, that became world champions, that were Intercontinental champions first. Booker T is another one. But I will say that there's something about the U.S. title to me that just reeks old school tradition, work your way up to the top. I think because the Intercontinental Championship has become so tarnished in the last dozen years, that's taken away so much of the prestige of the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know, man. Because I'm such a traditionalist, and because to me, just the old stomping ground roots of the U.S. Championship, when Funk and Race and you know, Bobo Brazil had it, and Ric Flair. I absolutely loved it. The Steamboat Flair feud in 78 was absolutely amazing, 77 and 78. You know, Valentine and Piper, you know, their amazing feud. Man, just it was absolutely amazing. And just there's so many legendary feuds that came from that Intercontinental Championship. Now, you're right. I mean, it's just the Intercontinental Championship was an amazing stepping stone for the WWE. Back in the 80s it was, and even the 90s for the most part. And main eventing, I mean, you know, there's, as far as I remember, there hasn't been a U.S. title big main event. Of course, I'm going to dig into that a little bit more, but not off the top of my head have we seen a big pay-per-view be main evented by a mid-card title, which the Intercontinental title was, SummerSlam 92. I'll give that to him. But still, there's just something about the Nikita Koloff and the Tully Blanchard and the Ricky Steamboat and the Lex Luger having it for over 500 days. Barry Windham, you know, having it for, like 7 months he had it. And just the Luger and Hansen feud and the Sting and Rude feud. Oh, man, it's just there's so much to me about that title that is just absolutely amazing. And there's many people who were U.S. champion first before they came world champion. Like I said, Flair, Steamboat, you got DDP, you got Goldberg, many, many, many names, like I said, with Luger, Sting, all of them were champions before they were all of them were U.S. champions before they were world champions. So, but I think both of us have strong cases. I'll let you vote. You as the listeners vote on Facebook. You know, let us know on Facebook. Let us know on Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Let us know what your thoughts are. Better interview, better mid-card champions. What's your take? Do you like the U.S. title better, or do you like the Intercontinental Championship better? Let us know, and we'll say it on the show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, so much. Kudos to Derek, as always, and Ryan with the Ryan's Den, which is always a fun segment. Thank you so much. That is it for this show. Until next week, get ready for next week. Hanson will be on the show. Until then, enjoy your week of wrestling. God bless. Day loves Elijah. Have a good week. Bye-bye.